What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
it's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
All right, Delaney.
Okay.
No pressure.
All right. I'm going to be taking it away. Here we are. Self-Helpless podcast. Welcome, everybody. Good to see you. I just can't do it.
You
I don't know what it
doing
is.
Really good.
I don't know what it
you
is.
You know what your intros sound like? They sound like the equivalent of a kid going off the diving board, but being like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to jump. Here we go. But the water's cold. Here we go, though.
I promise. I'll get it this time, Dad. Love me. Yes, welcome back. We have such a great episode ahead. But first, let's get, oh my God. Okay, so please go to selfhelplesspodcast.com, buy stuff through our Amazon link.
Yes.
We get a very small percentage. Why don't we go ahead and talk about our social medias? I'm DelaneyFisher.com, at Delaney Fisher.
I'm at Kelsey Cook. Sorry, Delaney, you just made me
sorry.
Laugh so much. It's just so fun. I'm at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, and KelseyCook.com for tour dates and all that good stuff.
Yes. And I'm T Tom Comedy, at T Tom Comedy, at Taylor Tomlinson on
I love
Twitter.
It.
Look at that. And
Ooh.
I'm also still laughing at Delaney. Yeah. I just wish everyone could see her dead eyes as she gave the intro. You pick a spot on the table and you just go, so welcome to Self-Helpless. Here we are. Look like you're trying to keep your balance.
I know. Here we go.
Yes.
All right. We're doing it. Also, please. Please give us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes.
Yes,
we have
please.
Some great reviews. I think we should read a couple, give
oh,
a couple
yeah.
shout outs.
So yeah. excited.
I'll start with this one because yeah. this took some effort. This is by Mr. Gray 12. And it says, a trio of gorgeous gabbing guru gals grants guidances and is it guffaws or guffas?
Guffaws.
Yes. What is that? Is that like a faux pas? What does that mean?
It's a laugh.
Oh,
like, you
that, that was very
was
precious.
That? Was that good?
Can you do that again?
Yeah, that was cute.
Oh, God, we need a guffaw button for
it's
the podcast.
It's a joyful sneeze.
That's kind of
what it sounds
sneeze.
Like.
I love it.
That's from who? From
that is from Mr. Gray 12.
Wow.
So basically,
Ooh, 50 Shades,
50
of
Shades
gray.
Is listening, and
is that,
that
what
is
we think
exciting.
That means?
I think so.
Dr. Seussian.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Gray.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this one I just love. The title. The title of this review is called Every Episode is Like a Healthy S-Shaped Poop.
That's great.
Love
We've
it.
Talked about poop before. If that
yes.
if that comes as a surprise to you, they're being nice.
Like, yeah,
they're not.
People are like, what?
They're not insulting
yes.
us.
By yeah. Corey Michaelis. Thank you, Corey, from the Bristol stool chart episode. We talked about
yeah.
the Bristol
yep.
stool chart that your poops are supposed to look like S's. If
yeah,
they're
spreading the good word out.
I love
here.
It.
Yeah, just
yeah.
So
Corey. I hope
know.
You have a vegan poops all the way the rest
yeah.
of your life.
And can I
Taylor,
read
do
one
you have
more?
One? Oh yeah, read another.
Or
one.
Do you have the one pulled up? Oh, no, if you, I'll read it, though, if you want.
Yes.
Let's hear your voice on a review.
This one is one that Kelsey actually texted to us in our group chat. That's how much this meant to us. This one's titled, "This is how we live now."
Yes.
Which is a quote from one of our past episodes with Kelsey. Literally spit my drink out in the middle of traffic and almost rear-ended someone. Worth it. This podcast is hilarious. And that's by sweet underscore D. But the E's are, oh, like sweet dick. Okay, I get it now.
Very clever.
The E's are threes, and it is D-E. Okay, all right. They just made sweet D look just different enough to confuse me, and I got to tell you, you did it.
A little bit of a fembot moment over there.
Gangster. What?
Yep.
Gangster, yeah. Thank you for those reviews. You guys are all wonderful people.
Yeah.
Speaking of reviews, we like to review things. No, this is what I want to talk about our sponsor for this week. Print Your Pet is back.
Yes.
Send them a picture of your pet. They print it out on all kinds of things. Socks, blankets, mugs,
phone covers. Yes.
Phone covers, pillows. And they also donate 10% to No Kill Shelter. So check them out. They're fantastic. We have a discount code, gives you 25% off.
Yeah, self-help.
Self-help.
Printyourpet.com. And
it's the best.
It's great.
Great company.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for that. Which brings us to our wonderful guest. I don't know how that there's no segue there. He's just the best. He's one of my dear friends. He is a hilarious stand-up comedian, author, actor. He hosted the Walk of Shame Shuttle on VH1.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yes, so good.
I haven't met Jordan until today, and I was like, why do I feel like I've met him? And I feel like that's one of the things I've seen you do.
Maybe he was my Uber driver.
Yeah.
He's been in your heart.
Oh yeah, and you can buy his book Accidentally Okay on Amazon and in Barnes and Nobles, and he's got something real big happening very soon that we can't really talk about, but he will make an announcement, so follow him on all of his social medias. Jordan Pease, everybody, thank you for having
my classy ass here.
we're
so excited.
Oh my god, that's you're the best. I don't even know where to go from here.
I just lost all my.
I'm just in love with your podcast.
Is incredible.
Thanks.
It's so natural.
That's precious.
I'm not gonna lie. I binge listened in traffic yesterday and today, and I was like, I'm impressed.
Oh my gosh, that's so nice.
It sounds really sweet,
and it's inspiring me to make one myself. You guys are good.
You
have like a natural rapport.
Thank you.
Sorority-esque meets like an education. You know, it's like a very smooth transition.
If you had
Delaney.
Left it at the first part, I'd be like, get out.
Yeah.
It's not at all what we're going for.
Delaney's intros.
Oh gosh.
Just a beautiful hot mess.
It's great.
I feel like I've mastered the awkward pause.
Yeah, it is.
Right, like even right there, that was awkward.
should we chime in?
Yeah. Should we let her crash or should we help?
Conversational double dutch. I'm like, I don't know.
Do I clean up the wreckage or just let it happen?
What is your book Accidentally Okay about?
It's a comedic memoir, as I almost mispronounced. It's about like when you fail at life and you just sell all your shit and move to Europe and then just move there without a visa and then get kicked out of Europe.
Is that what you did?
Basically.
That's incredible.
I got out of a crazy breakup and I was like, I think I need European men to just fix me.
Oh, yeah.
You know when you have that feeling when you're like, I need someone that doesn't speak English to like just penetrate all forms of me, like emotionally, sexually, and like hit the restart button pretty deep. You know? And then it's just a memoir kind of like, I was 21 and I just bounced. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I was so stressed. I like just wasn't happy.
How long were you there?
I was there for 98 days, which I guess the limit is 90 without a visa.
Oh my God.
So then I tried to like fly from Italy to the UK and they were like, interesting. You have been here for almost 2 weeks too long, and you have 2 days, 48 hours to leave the continent of Europe, or you're never allowed back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And I was like, around.
Let me just end my 6 or 7 relationships I started, and I'll bounce. I'm good to go. Let me clear the bench, you know?
Clear the
but it's great. It's just like a comedic memoir about like getting robbed by gypsies and finding yourself.
That's great.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
That is amazing.
I should buy that through our Amazon link.
Yeah. And you should too.
I think it's 99 cents on Kindle right now.
So. Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Hot deal.
Let me get that.
For sure. Give me my 10%. Deal. Let me get 9 cents off you guys. Yeah. That would be wonderful.
Absolutely.
We'll happily appreciate you. Happily.
I'm tossing Jordan a nickel right now.
Yeah.
You can't hear it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's so cool. That's like my dream is to just say like fuck everything and just fly to like Ireland.
That's the dream. Yeah.
That's my number one. You actually did it.
And
that's incredible.
I suggest everyone does it because it's like you truly don't know yourself until you spend time with only yourself in a country where no one speaks English and you have like just have to fight for like any sort of friendship or like human connection.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's also like super relaxing because you could just not talk to a single person and like listen to your headphones for 90 days. It's great.
Oh my God.
It's great. I basically just listened to Lana Del Rey in a loop from like from March to around May.
Amazing.
So were you like very touristy or did you just
lived in a little loft, like a little flat, with these two girls from the UK that were going to school there and studying abroad.
Yeah.
And we all just like pitched in for rent. And on like 3 days a week, I worked like just for petty cash at like a farmer's market and sold lemons.
Oh my gosh. This sounds like a book.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Eat, Pray, Love.
They pay me. I know. It would be like,
it is.
Eat.
Gay love.
Binge, drink wine, suck a ton of dick. Find yourself. And then be pressured very quickly to leave and never come back. They're like, please, by all means, leave.
Get kicked out.
Yeah, you're like the millennial male Eat, Pray, Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, except she got a movie deal. I still rent a room off Craigslist. So there's who's more successful.
Well, after this podcast,
you're going to blow
get ready
up.
For your life to change.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I totally suggest it. It's like sometimes you just, I feel like you just have to say fuck it. It's like the best cleanse. Fuck it should be a cleanse.
Yeah, the fuck it cleanse. Oh my God.
The fuck it cleanse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just cheese fries and whiskey.
Yeah.
That's my dream.
For sure.
Oh my God.
Are you already living that dream?
Yeah, basically.
You live the fuck it.
But like every day, that could be like your every day if you want.
You're the face of the fuck it cleanse.
It is. Yeah.
I love it. Which brings us to quotables.
Oof. That was so smooth.
Like
my pants unbuttoned themselves. As you said,
speaking of the fuck it cleanse, you probably have a few great quotes that you lead your life by.
Yeah, maybe tattooed on you.
Probably.
I've had probably somewhere on your arm.
Yeah, I have some. I wish you guys could see, but I have some pretty trashy tattoos.
Oh, I love it.
Started when I was young, you know, 14. Jersey.
Gotta get them young.
Gotta get them young. Gotta get them when they're cheap. quotes. Yeah, I don't know if I live by them, but there's a few in my mind that like when I'm having the worst day ever, I could like somewhat mantra to myself, you know.
Yeah.
Have you guys read The Alchemist ever?
Yes.
I haven't.
No.
It's so good. Yeah. The Alchemist like changed my life. That book is so good.
It's amazing.
What's what's the premise? What's
it's
it about?
It's just basically, it's fiction, but it's basically about
it's like
a boy. Yeah, it's just a huge metaphor for like this kind of young boy who like gives up everything just to kind of travel because he's like pressured into this job of which his parents did or which his dad did. And I'm saying this as if he's like, I don't want to work in advertising. It's like actually very like, it's like super, I wouldn't call it religious, but it's like very spiritual. And he's like just walking through pastures in like the 1800s, definitely not working in like a 9-to-5. But it's great. But he, I don't know if it's a quote, but it's kind of like there's a piece of it that's this amazing story that I like can never get out of my head. And basically he like, the boy's name is Santiago and he meets this like super, super wealthy king that he like wants to be. So the king like introduces him to this wise man and the wise man is like, oh, come into the palace. So he comes into this like insane palace and he talks to the wise man and the wise man like gives him a spoon, like a little, like a tablespoon and puts 2 drops of oil in it. You're like, whoa, this isn't a quote. You're actually Paulo Coelho. so he puts 2 drops of oil in the spoon and he's like, walk around the palace for 2 hours and just make sure the oil doesn't fall off the spoon and come back to me like, and I'll tell you the secret to happiness. So the boy is like, okay. So he like walks through this amazing palace And he comes back after 2 hours and the drops of oil are still on the spoon. And the wise man's like, oh my God, did you see like the beautiful garden? Did you see like this amazing painting on the wall?
Oh.
And starts naming all these things. But the boy was like, no, I was looking down at the oil the entire time.
Oh.
So he was like, go back and tell me what's in like every room of the house and then don't drop the oil on the spoon. So he goes and he like looks at the beautiful gardens and the paintings and the sculptures and sees all these amazing people and like riches, but he comes back and there's no oil on the spoon. So basically the wise man, to sum it up, is basically just like the secret to happiness is kind of looking what's around you and absorbing it and enjoying it, but at the same time like focusing on yourself and being able to like put some sort of focus on what's right in front of you like at the time.
Huh.
And I remember reading it at the age of like 21 and being like, why the fuck do people go to college? Like this book is yeah. tuition. This book
this
should be
education.
Your tuition.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This
point, so his point was you need to learn to enjoy everything and keep the oil?
Basically, it's kind of like
a balancing
it's
act?
Kind of about balance. It's kind okay. of like this life is a balancing act, and it's very like, in my mind, it really just translated because I was like, you kind of get so in your own mind about things. You know, when you're like,
yes.
oh my God, I have to focus. I need to like, I want a stand-up comedy special. I want to write a book. I want to write a movie. And then
yes.
you're like not in a relationship. You're not hanging out with your friends. You're not smoking weed in the morning before you get in the shower. And then having a coffee to kind of crossfade it up, which I need to just make me feel normal.
Yeah.
So it just really was like, whoa, you need to like, it's good to focus on yourself. But at the same time, like if you want to be happy.
Enjoy your life.
Enjoy your fucking life.
Yeah.
Like whether it's traveling or other
yeah.
stuff, you know, it's like that balance.
So drop the oil. Drop it hard.
Yeah. No, you're so...
That's what Delaney. I thought was going to be. You missed
Delaney.
The point.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Delaney.
It's hold the oil in the spoon, but also
but like,
absorb the beautifulness that is the walls.
Right. But it's okay if a couple drops fall out.
You piece of shit.
No.
No,
God,
you know what?
She's
I
like
thought
a...
that too at first. When he
right?
said that, I was like, oh, so he's going to come back and be like, you want oil in your spoon? Like, really? I thought that was going to be it.
Exactly.
Too, but that's why I asked for...
So the guy came back and it was...
So he came
he
back the second time
some.
He comes back and there's no oil on the spoon. And he's
right.
like, the secret to life is having oil, keeping the oil on the spoon as you walk around and like taking it all in and absorbing.
Also, you got to do both. That's a lot
yeah,
of work.
Yeah, you got to do both.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
But that's not really a quote, but I would call that an adage, maybe like some sort of great adage.
I love it. There's a great quote by Louis Armstrong where he says something to the effect of like, if you don't live it, it won't come out your horn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so true with comedy
yeah.
too, where if you don't go out and live your life and
yeah.
collect experiences to write about, it's not mm-hmm. going to come
yeah.
out of your mouth into
yeah.
the microphone.
So we right. talked about
what
the last time
about?
I saw you, we were talking about how like I took a few months off from doing stand up because I was just like, this isn't fun anymore. Like
yes,
I love it so much, but I felt
last,
burnt
yeah.
out. I was
yeah.
like, the sound of my own voice is so annoying. Like I can't do 10 shows a week. It's not fun for me.
Yeah.
So like taking time off, I was like, oh my God, I have so much new material by just like actually getting blackout drunk and enjoying my friends that are pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like you get so much good material.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
that same thing. Like you have to live your life and enjoy it to actually like have some sort of success.
Yes.
Yeah. I have something to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
yeah. The last
yeah.
couple months we've been trying to get together and be like, let's try to fall in love with this art again.
Yeah.
You know?
And I
like
and we
end
I
up again.
Totally have.
It's helped.
Just like bullshitting
it's helped.
With you and drinking
yeah.
wine for 9 hours and just going through some notebooks.
It's helpful.
Great. It helps so much.
It's helpful when you don't feel completely alone doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, which
for
is
me,
nice.
I like to be surrounded by people like a
mm-hmm.
I don't know, like the comfort of a womb.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Just like warmth.
I'm happy to be that warm,
yeah.
that warm womb at any time.
Yeah, just like you hear voices, but yeah, that's
yeah,
kind
that's.
Of.
I think that's my favorite sort of like adage from that book that I
yeah.
pulled. That and I remember
like
that book is amazing. Paulo Coelho like has the best quotes ever.
It's amazing,
and he has another one where it's like I don't know if it's the secret to life, but it's like the secret. Something about the secret to life is like falling 7 times and getting up 8 and then not remembering it, you know, just being like, just do it. Have it be automatic. Like when you
right.
fail, just get back up. Like
yeah.
there's no second thoughts about it. So
right.
that one also, I'm like,
yeah.
pretty good.
Like it. I have a question for you. So
okay.
after knowing you for several years, I'm so impressed by the ideas that you like continually come up with.
Okay.
Like every time I see you, you have a new amazing thing, whether
yeah,
you're writing a book
yeah, yeah.
or you're pitching a show or whatever. And like, they're brilliant ideas. And so how do you like spark that creativity so frequently. Because for me, it's like, ooh, it's very up and down. But every time I see you, you have something great happening.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's
very talented.
Very sweet. Very I'm super hard
mind.
On myself.
Yes.
And that's the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me.
Brilliant mind. And a lot of stuff that you can't ever talk about because it's like in the works.
Or like,
it's like a contract issue or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
I weirdly pay my rent a little bit by like selling off these ideas.
Yeah.
So that's why sometimes I can't talk about them. But I've sold like premises to Snapchat and social media companies and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's basically just like I kind of go at it with that like same fuck it attitude. Like if it doesn't work, whatever, I'll put some effort into it. I'll try like give it 100% and I'll pitch it for a month or two. And if it doesn't work, then I'm moving on. Like,
yeah.
You know what? I will throw it on the back burner. I'm happy I have it. And then it'll come back for something else, hopefully later. And I just kind of like, I mean, I like to smoke weed and drink. Sometimes that helps my creativity a little bit.
Yeah.
Can't lie. But I've been trying to get better about writing ideas down. A lot of them come to me like weirdly in my sleep. I'm like that weird psycho. Hopefully I don't like take an Ambien and kill my family one day. You know? But yeah, I think kind of just crafting like creative ideas that no one's ever done before. I think the best way to kind of keep them like on the tip of your tongue is honestly like by keeping like handwriting notes. I know like texting or putting it something in your phone in your notes is a great way, but like handwriting in a notebook, there's something about it that I like will kind of write tags and it things
totally.
Come like there's something about
cathartic.
Handwriting
yeah.
is cathartic and it like brings more ideas to the surface.
Right.
Also I'm very pro like shooting sizzles, like buy a cheap camera.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what it is or how good it is, and just go for it yourself. Like, don't wait for anyone else. Like, say you're pitching an idea out. Like, I had pitched the show called Hi, It's Made, which was kind of like similar to Drunk History, but about getting stoned. So it's
yeah.
like how something's made, but you just get people super stoned, and then you're like, how is the Holland Tunnel made? And they're not trying to be funny. It's just like the amount of people that are like, well, you drain the river, and you're like, yeah, this is, you know. Yeah,
no,
and then I wanted to like animate
amazing.
It with cheap graphics, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I just shot a sizzle with my friends in my living room.
Yes.
And then we just kind of sold it off to Snapchat and rode
yeah.
the wave. Yeah.
Amazing.
And it was great. But it was just like literally it was a Sunday. We came up with the idea when we were stoned, which is sad to say. And then I was like, the lighting is great. Let's just put you against the white wall in my living room and we'll just shoot something. And literally I had like five friends over to watch the World Cup and they all got super high and I put them on a stool and just shot them with my iPhone and then edited it off like myself off of iMovie. And I was like, we're going to sell the shit out of this.
It's so good.
Wow.
Yeah. Like in the 5.5 years I've known you, I feel like I've seen 4 or 5 sizzles you've made that are like, this is good.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's one thing to have that good idea, but then to actually make it happen.
Yeah.
I think that's where people struggle actually doing it.
If I had any advice from like just selling small projects, I would say, A, you have to realize that literally no one in this industry that's above you actually knows what they're doing.
Yes.
Like the head of development was like genuinely validating parking 2 weeks ago at MTV. You
right.
know what I mean? So you just kind of have to make it up as you go along. And also like once you kind of have like that like irk to do it or like that remote passion, just like do it right away.
Don't think about it.
Because if you're like, oh, I'm going to put this together and plan it out and get a budget and kind of make a spreadsheet and see who's around. It's like by that time you're like, okay, now I'm dating someone new or I just got dumped or you know what I mean? I just found out something terrible about my cat. You're like, I'm not interested in this.
Right.
Yeah. So you just kind of have to ride the wave as fast as you can go, like right away.
Yeah, I love that. Just don't think.
Yeah.
Just really
don't wait for that bad cat news.
Yeah. Don't wait around for that.
Yeah. But yeah.
That's
thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're very brilliant.
Yeah.
I love you.
You're a good man. Good man, Jordan.
Good man.
Thank you.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Oh, Kelsey, did you have something?
Well, I was going to say, it's funny because I forgot that you and I did stand-ups doing makeup together.
We did.
Oh, so fun.
Which is one of those, when you're talking about like just doing it and starting, yeah. It's so hard because everything we do now is put out for people to see. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't really live in shadows. Like, yeah. When you're trying new material, it's to a crowd. When you're putting projects up online, whether it's a podcast, a video thing, it's all getting seen, so people kind of see like the awkward steps.
Yeah.
And the one with you, I was so bummed that I didn't have you on later because like the lighting's a little dark and the background's a little shitty. But like you were so funny. I mean, I've had
we made each other look like Lady Gaga, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've had friends watch it next to me, and I can, you know, you can tell when somebody's like laughing out of like courtesy because you're there. They like. Everything you said was gold. It just, oh God.
I don't know why I don't do this every week. Why do I pay for a therapist? You guys are, yeah.
Seriously.
If only I could find a boyfriend that was as nice.
We're going to call this episode Complimenting Jordan.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. I'm into it.
Killing it.
For sure.
So that was just.
But that's such a like smart, quick creative idea that can grow your following so fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm sure it has. Like, I mean, you churn out so many new episodes and you get such great people on it. And the concept is easy. And like, also, once you start understanding the digital market where you're like, okay, no one has attention spans for more than like 2.5 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, 13-year-old to 16-year-old girls, is if you want to make money, get them. Like, sadly, that's all you need to make any money in this country is to get the 13 to 16-year-old demographic of women, of girls.
Yeah.
Right. And just go for it. But
and
that's
what 13-to-16-year-old doesn't want to watch Kelsey doing makeup.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Well, I'm sure their parents don't want them. Yeah. Because I'm saying horrible things.
Listen to comedians make fart jokes. Yeah. You know, like
watching Jim Norton say like horrific, filthy things. And it's like, what is this? But yeah, you were so funny, and people should go watch that if you haven't seen it yet. Just stand-ups doing makeup on YouTube. With Jordan Pease.
It's great. Humor. Watch it. Watch everyone's.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's, I feel like I'm kind of taking a page from your book of kind of like quality over quantity. Because this is like the first, that web series is the first thing where I tried to focus on getting people that I like really genuinely felt like were going to be hilarious, not just, I got to put it up this week. So I'm just going to grab whoever is available. And so anyway.
Yeah. That's smart, though. I mean, people remember good shit or they remember really terrible things and they don't remember the in-between.
Yes.
So, like, even, like, I had this one audition I'll never forget. It was at MTV. It was for that show Awkward. And I was, like, playing, obviously, a gay camp counselor. I was like, this should be good. Years of experience. And I was just like, I had gone on a few auditions that week and they all were like, you like sit there for an hour and sweat. And then as soon as you look like garbage, they're like, by all means, come in and audition. We're like, great. I'm glad that I was sitting in a parking lot behind a 7-Eleven for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
But it was just like one of those things where it was like, if I just make this memorable, like I'm sure something will happen from it. So I like completely improvised. Also, I just genuinely didn't know the script. So I was like, I'm just taking it to my own terms. And I like botched every character's name and made it. It was like such a terribly funny audition that they like, I didn't get it, but they called me in for like 15 other auditions after that for like months to just do other things. But I was like, if you're just memorable and like, you know what I mean? Make some sort of impact instead of kind of being like everyone else, you know, it's like, I guess it does something.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not enough. Do you. Not enough yet though.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Do you.
So we had, do you know Kira Saltanovich?
Hell yeah, she's wonderful.
Oh, okay. She's amazing. So we had her on a couple episodes ago, and she read mine and Taylor's energy.
Oh, whoa.
And which was like...
whoa.
It was...
She just petted the palm of our hand for like 10 minutes and then told us secrets that we had never told anyone.
Oh my God, that's insane.
Crazy.
It was like, really good.
She truly has a gift. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
And so then she read Delaney's at the Burbank Comedy Festival, and we haven't heard yet really like what she told her. And so we want to hear that. And I also want to know, have you ever had any sort of like, like a tarot card?
Yeah. I'm so into it. So I need to hear Delaney's.
It's so fun.
Okay.
Well, okay, so she read mine for like 10 minutes on a live recording of her podcast, and then I was like, that wasn't enough of a fix. I need like a full session. Yeah. Yeah. So I paid her to come to my mom's house.
Yeah.
And she read both of us for an hour. Okay. An hour each. So okay.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Gosh, it was so fun,
dude. Can we do a field trip, please, yes. to Kara's house?
It was so fun. And she basically just nailed everything. Like she, I mean, I asked her about relationship stuff. I asked her about career stuff. I asked her about like all that. One thing that she picked up on that she told me to like get rid of my IUD like immediately. And she said that several times. And it's so funny because it's almost a year since I've had that. And I've actually thought about getting it out just for my own reasons of like being uncomfortable. But like she kept saying that. So the fact that she's been right about other stuff, now I feel like I really should get this thing
out.
I'm
like, may call Planned Parenthood. ASAP.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So that's one thing she said. She talked about, you know, Taylor Kelsey and I working together successfully and like we're, you know, a project that we have in the works that she couldn't have known anything about. And she basically talked about some of the elements of it that we haven't even shared. And it ended up being very on point. She told me, I asked her like, you know, I don't know if I'm doing stand up or what I should be doing. I'm like, I'm always like in this in between day job and stand up life. And she was like, I feel like I get you like to be surrounded by people that you really love and care about. And like doing that stand up for you is like traveling by yourself. Like she's basically is like, you need like, like constant camaraderie.
A good group of people.
Yeah. And like, I don't know where that comes from, but she saw that. She talked about my boyfriend and how, there's just been a lot of traveling and visitors in and out and all this crazy stuff that she couldn't have known, which is all true.
God, that's so crazy.
But, it is.
Yeah. But the stuff, oh my God, she read my mom's energy and she was so specific with my mom. She was like, you need to go to the optometrist. And my mom's like, literally just made an appointment today. Like stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. Like she got like super specific.
What?
She talked about her job and like nailed like the type of stuff happening in her position. There's no way she could have known that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like people like blow my mind with this. It's crazy.
It was so good.
I need to call her.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Me and Kelsey are both like, she read us for 15 minutes. What?
But yeah.
We want like a full hour. Yeah.
It was like you should do a full hour.
I feel
you
though, how addicting it is. There is a place called the Mystic Journey Bookstore in Venice.
Ooh.
It's unbelievable. It's like this old bookstore and they do psychic readings. Not psychic readings. There's like clairvoyance. I had no idea that you could offend them when you're like, thanks for the psychic reading. They're like, I am not a psychic. I don't predict the future. You know, I like talk to someone in your past or someone that passed away, but it's incredible. Mystic Journey Bookstore.
Wow.
If you're listening, go. It's
so
incredible.
Fun.
It's not too expensive and they're like legit. It's
okay,
not like
that's
the
awesome.
You walk in, I'm like, oh my, I'm like, I want to just buy a crystal ball.
Yes.
I'm like, this is the best, but it's like cleansing and spiritual.
Oh yeah.
But I did the same thing. I did a 30-minute reading and then I left and I was like, it's not enough.
Yeah.
So I went back at like 6 p.m. and did an hour. And then one day I learned like 90 minutes about my future.
So good.
Thank God.
I love it.
It was it about your future? Was it just like what you're doing currently?
I did a tarot card reading the second time, which was like kind of like tarot card meets like life coach. Meets like, I would say kind of like, it was great. It was the first time I ever had a male clairvoyant.
Mm.
Then earlier in the day I had someone who like just talked to people that had passed on, and I lost my father when I was young. So it was like, I mean, this woman had me sobbing in like a minute and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. Like the second I walked in, she was like, your father's right behind you. And like, listen how horrifying this is.
What?
She started talking in the cadence of like, which my father talked in.
Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. From like a weird state town in upstate New York and like specific words that he would say all the time. Like my dad always would say like insane, bizarre. He would call a lot of people schmucks. And she was very like, can't take this person out of your life. Your dad's saying they're a schmuck. And I was like, oh my God. It was insane.
Goosebumps.
Oh,
it was crazy.
We have to go.
Let's go there. And everyone there is great. And then I did an awesome reading with like a tarot card reader
Wow.
It came out incredible, but it was the same kind of thing. Like sometimes you just need like someone that doesn't know you at all to just like give you some sort of direction so you could just like hit the ground running.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
So crazy.
It's great.
This place sounds like the Psychic Eye in Sherman Oaks. Have you been there?
What is it called?
The Psychic Eye, but it's a bookstore with all kinds of cool stuff to buy, and then they also do readings. I don't think I've ever had a reading like that where somebody's like quoting stuff from like a relative who's passed, but that's intense.
It was crazy. That's I was fucked up by it for like weeks. I was like, holy shit. And they're very open to like letting you voice record so you could still have it forever and stuff.
Wow, that is so
cool. It's awesome. I'm not kidding. Like, make an appointment days in advance, take off work, spend a day in Venice, eat some good food, go to the psychic, and have like the best day of your life.
Oh my gosh, we'll film it. We'll just shoot a quick sizzle.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do everything.
Sell it to Facebook.
I'm trying to incorporate all of your advice into one thing. Yeah, Kira told me. She told me a few things.
What did she tell you?
She told me to like focus on myself, be really, really selfish, to like continue like not dating or anything, just like get everything out of your life, like toxic people, toxic practices, all this stuff. And then she was just randomly like, so you've been having digestive issues, and I was like,
oh my god,
me too.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, granted, a lot of people do, but
you've been throwing up and stuff though.
I like in the last few months I had like food poisoning type
several
times, which is weird. And I was trying to be vegan and that like wasn't working for me, and she was like, you need do the GAPS diet, which is basically just Whole 30, which I did at the end of last year and like loved, and I went back on that and I felt great.
Oh good.
So for the most part I did get sick today, but that's fine. But like for the last few weeks I felt amazing. You know, how else are you supposed to know? Before, I was asking you, because I ask all the guests now if they're vegan or whatever, or whatever they do, because I think I trust people now more than what the health documentary
is. Oh, man. Yeah.
Did you watch that?
I did, and I was also, like, not shocked. I was like, this is capitalism. I was like, the people that are making donations are poisoning you and killing you.
Yeah,
welcome to America.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, how did I was like, this is capitalism. I'm like, that's not, you know?
This is not news.
Yeah.
But
I was
parts
like,
of it were bullshit. Like, this about eggs and cigarettes and stuff, but me and Kelsey watched it like on the road, so we were like, oh, we have to stop eating.
I was like a little too stoned, so it scared the shit out of me for like 60 minutes. And then by the time it was just so one-sided, and like the host of it was genuinely just so hipster and boring. I was like, I can't believe someone who's like in thrift store clothing like getting paid millions of dollars to do a documentary. Just doesn't work for me.
He was painful when he would make the phone calls and be like, I find it interesting that on your website it says that you're giving beef stroganoff recipes when they're the things that give you cancer.
Right.
And he would be like shocked.
And then he'd just like raise his eyebrows at the camera, like, see what's coming next. And then he'd be like, weirdly enough, they wouldn't give me an answer. It's like, because
they don't have time for your shit.
Yeah, as a secretary.
Just somebody being like, you know what, I have other important stuff to do, like figure it out on your own, do your own research. So that's just somebody getting rid of an annoying caller. I know what that feels like. I have a day job. So I get it. Like, I don't have time for this.
It was like my brother's a nutritionist.
Right, I'm so interested.
And he like works at a hospital. So he he's a nutritionist after people like have heart attacks or are fighting a disease. So he puts them on diets because it is like whatever your diet is very much affects how you live and your health.
It's very personal.
Exactly, but it's very personal. You can't just tell everyone to be vegans because there's people that are anemic that will become vegan and that bleed to death after they get a paper cut. It's
crazy.
Stuff like that I'm like, there's no, if it was a little bit more directed, you know, or like it was just super one-sided.
It was vegan propaganda. It was basically very, very much pushing that.
Right. But my brother is like, I mean, he eats not a ton of meat, but he does these things called Meatless Mondays where he doesn't eat any meat on Mondays. And then the rest of the week he eats super healthy. He's not vegan, but he tries to eat vegetarian. And then on the weekends he genuinely eats whatever he wants. And my brother has the body of a demigod. I've never seen a person
Let
me see.
Pretty great. He's pretty proof.
And he
like doesn't get a cold. It's just he spends no meat on Mondays, super healthy the other 4 days of the week. And then on the weekends, he's like, you need some sort of pleasure. Like, stress will also kill you.
Yeah.
So it's like,
You can't be perfect.
So interesting. But that's also another thing that's so personal, because some people do better just cutting things out of their life completely.
Right.
And then some people do better with, you know, like balance, like you said, and like him eating whatever he wants on the weekend. Some people can't do that because they'll just eat whatever they want all
exactly.
the time. But
yeah, I know how that feels.
Yeah. I wasn't going to look at you.
Yeah.
But, well, I had a friend who was dating a nutritionist who worked at a hospital, and we were like at a show, and I was talking to her about, I was like, well, milk's like bad for you, right? And she goes, no, it's fine. It just depends on who you are. I was like,
wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I was like, what about like bread and stuff? That's like really bad. And she goes, it's all about moderation. It's just like fine. And then I looked over at her like halfway through the night. She had like a piece of pizza and a glass of wine in each of her hands. Yeah. I was just like, there's literally no right answer. She's garbage.
She's a garbage friend.
I walked out so mad because she was like thin, and I was like, you're just naturally thin is the other thing. It's like some people can eat like flawlessly and they're still never going to be like a Victoria's Secret model, and then some Victoria's Secret models eat mac and cheese and they're fine. So it's like
my brother, he also like believes in like eating for your genealogy or whatever, the I don't know what the nutrition
the blood type kind of thing,
basically
blood
not
type
even blood
or
type but like
your,
where's your answer where are your
ancestry
from?
Oh, that's so interesting.
Like eat what they ate and you will feel a lot better.
Like Irish
also,
potatoes,
there's a test that you can take. I think it might be kind of expensive, but they test like the bacteria in your stomach, and you're supposed to eat actually for like the bacteria in your stomach.
Totally.
Bacteria is what makes you feel like shit. Like when, when you're like, oh my God, I had Korean barbecue and I'm shitting my pants for 4 days.
Right.
AKA me last Friday. I'm dating a guy who like only eats Asian food. I'm not even kidding. He like his body, he's like, I feel so great when I eat Asian food. I'm like, I will eat vegan Thai and I will feel good for 1 hour, fart and be starving again. Like I will, it does nothing for me.
Oh my God.
But yeah, you could like take this test to see what bacteria is in your stomach and what it digests better.
Yeah.
And then you eat for the bacteria in your stomach.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So interesting.
That makes, like I feel so good after I eat like a meal of like corned beef, cabbage and potatoes.
Yeah.
Because I'm Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I feel like I feel so good and happy and at home. You know, like that must be something. Yeah. There must be something
Norwegian,
to it.
I wonder if that's why I like fish.
I love
and
fish.
Is great for you. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
That's
this
another
so,
thing.
I've never heard that. That makes so much sense.
My
to me.
Body. My
it
body.
Totally makes sense.
My family's like annoyingly Italian, and my body it digests pasta and bread decently well, but I could eat like steak and meat and feel wonderful. Like have so much energy, not feel bloated, but then I'll have like a bowl of cereal and I'm like, I'm gonna fucking die.
So
weird.
Like, milk for me. I don't think I'm lactose intolerant, but like I can eat dollar shitty ice cream from McDonald's that's like pure chemicals and sugar because it's not dairy.
It's
not really dairy.
So
then I'll have like salt and straw or some wonderful ice cream and I'm like, I'm going to die. I'm like shitting my pants in the lift home.
Sour cream and you're just like, well, that's it. Gone.
Exactly.
That's
So yeah, eat for your ancestors. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that way.
That is
had a very self-careless moment this weekend because I'd been on the road for 2 weekends in a row, very alone feeling. And so sometimes I kind of turn to food in those times.
Yep.
And I had cookies from this bakery I found in San Francisco. I had them for basically like 3 days in a row. And then, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say this.
You sharted.
I did not shart, although I have before.
I think we all
You're like
we
just
all
in
have.
The past few times.
I sharted during a 3-on-3 street basketball tournament. So I've got lots of stories forever.
You're in good company. I had diarrhea at CBS today. So you know, we're all just making dreams come true.
So glamorous. I had these cookies and was just kind of like letting myself go dairy-wise. It was just kind of like having more than I know I should. And I was like setting up my merchandise while the headliner was still on stage. Uh-oh. And there was a security guy standing like 6 to 8 feet away from me. And I felt it brewing in my stomach and I had to, it's just sometimes where it's like, if I don't let this out, I'm like, my face is going to feel hot. I'm going to feel sick. And it just, it came out and I tried to just stay, like stand very still. So I wouldn't like stir up, I wouldn't stir up any breezes.
Blend in with the wool.
And man, within like 4 seconds, the security guy turns to me and he goes, oh my God. Someone just farted. It smells so bad.
Yeah, he's like,
bad.
My eyes burn.
By a train.
I had to pull like a middle school move where I had to like pull out some acting degree I don't have and be like, wait, hold on. I don't.
oh, wow. Oh, my God. That's so bad. That must be coming from outside. I had
that
to try.
Must be the sewers.
Yeah, I had to try and blame it on, like, somebody walking by outside. I was mortified. Like, I texted I texted my boyfriend.
You would say something.
Yeah, usually I just, like, silently, like, gag and call it a day.
Because I don't think, I genuinely don't think he thought it was me. It was so bad that I don't think he could have possibly thought it came from inside.
That pretty face.
So small. Sometimes put together. And it was a destroyer.
Becca has a necklace on. There's no way she did it.
Yeah, it was a destroyer of worlds. I mean, it was really, really bad. And I just, it's so tough because it's like, I want to be able to eat. They were so good. They were so good. It's just when I have a binge like that, I need to basically be kept in solitude.
By yourself,
like
quarantined.
Like a feral animal.
Sometimes,
like, I can't be around people's noses.
Yeah.
So I can't control
it. You just have to own it. You just have to, like, own it.
It was me, my bad.
Yeah, no, just let it rip and then be like, your turn.
This wasn't a playful one like that. It wasn't like
a
little, like, oh, it was a killer. It was an assassin. Yeah.
It's bad where you're like, someone called the CDC.
Somebody died.
Like, someone called the disease control.
Yeah, this is hazmat.
Everyone's getting, like, some sort of bacterial infection with my breathing. I'm very sorry.
This is how contagious. Started,
something
I think.
You're like, sorry, I just gave you a MRSA infection. With
This is fucking World War Z real time.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
Oh, my gosh.
So embarrassed.
Dude.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I guess we're just going to turn this into the shitting stories. I shat my pants at the dinner table once. Yeah, you know what? I had taken, like, I had taken, like, one of those orange or vitamin C, like, cleanses.
Oh, those right? Will blow and your shit in half.
You
no
don't
pun
like,
intended.
Yeah, you don't know, like, when it's going to kick in. But I'm like, I'm at home. I'll make it to the bathroom. Like, I'm 10 feet away from my bathroom. No, I was, like, mid-pasta, you know, like, with my family and just, like... At least it was at home, but like,
yeah,
we gotta,
at home is good.
Gotta go. But I was like, oh man, how do you like shitting your pants at home? That's like a whole new low because you don't even have an excuse.
Yeah,
it's right like there.
I think that's the safest place because you're comfortable. You're like, I can make it. I'm not hurt. Mm-hmm. Oh, just kidding.
Yeah.
I have a change of clothes.
Yeah.
The only times I've ever shit my pants were when I was a kid and I was always at a friend's house.
Oh my gosh.
And, yeah, and it still scars me to this day. Wake up in a cold sweat almost every night.
Just remember that big dump. Fear.
You're, like, you're always, anytime something good happens in my career, I'm like, you'll always be that pants shitter. Don't you forget who you are, where you come from. That's how you should be eating, like a pants shitter. That is your dynasty.
Yeah. Don't invite Taylor over for a sleepover. You've been warned.
I've definitely peed my pants more than I have shit
my
pants. As an adult, I've peed my pants.
Really?
I peed my pants. Like, literally in the front seat of my car with my jeans on, driving home from San Diego. I must have been, like, in Orange County, and I was like, okay, I'm an hour away. I don't feel like pulling over. Like, I kind of have to pee. And then in very, like, L.A., very in L.A. terms, there was just traffic on the 5 at, like, probably 11 o'clock at night, and they were doing construction, and it was down to one lane.
Yikes.
And I'm not kidding. I was stopped for, like, 30 minutes, and I was like, either I can get out in this traffic and just pee, like, on the construction workers, like, in, like, oh, just jump over the cones and just piss right where the construction
right.
is, or, like, and I think this was the first time I probably actually got my car clean, because I just like to live in, like, I usually have, like, an array of Starbucks cups in my car at all times, but
why
I had,
you pee in a Starbucks?
I had nothing in my car, nothing, I had, like, just gotten my car washed, and I literally was just, like, fuck it. And I just sat there with my hands on the wheel.
No.
And with my jeans on, just pissed. Like a full tank. Like full till of urine.
Good
just
Lord.
Peed my car. And then drove home like another 45 minutes and then literally just took my jeans off in my driveway and threw them in the garbage. And I was like, I am going to bed. I'm like, not showering. I'm going to bed. Full of shame. Full of shame.
Wow.
I love the mental picture of you sitting with both hands on the wheel.
It was like
just releasing silently.
It was bad. It was like, and you know when you have to pee so bad that then you're like, wait, am I also going to shit my pants because your stomach hurts so bad? You're like, oh my God, your stomach gets
everywhere.
Like hard.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what was happening. And I was like having the cold sweats, and I was like, you know what? I'm in the convenience of my own piece of crap car.
Just
gotta own it.
I know.
Yeah. Own it.
The first time. Oh, no, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I just say,
we all have so much to say.
We just like popped the bottle open of all these shit stories. This is like my introduction to ever spending the night at a friend's house. Like the first time I ever did it, I was probably like 6 or 7. I pooped at my friend's home and then my toothbrush fell into the toilet, into my poop. And my friend's mom had to put on rubber gloves and fish out the toothbrush because you couldn't like flush.
Okay.
So that was how I started my.
Yeah. I hope she wasn't that like sick mom who was like, it's fine, we'll just boil it. You're like, oh, no, toss it.
Yeah. Oh, God, no. Yeah, that was immediately in the trash. She was very sweet about it, but like, that was my. Like, I have poop stories at every age.
Oh, yeah. Plugging up people's toilets.
Yeah. Constant shame.
That's why I'm like, in the comfort of your own home, like, give me a break.
Yeah.
The best, okay, the worst feeling ever is when you feel like you're going to have to do something right before you go on stage. The best feeling is getting on stage, the adrenaline. Hitting you
and it
going away,
completely away
for 30 minutes, and then the minute you get off stage, you're like, I'm a volcano again.
All your friends, like, you did great, but you looked kind of green.
Why were you so sweaty?
Yeah.
For me, it goes away the rest of the night, though. Like,
me
I don't
too.
Have
and
to, I can't do it again. Like, I knew I had a big one coming, and now it's gone.
Yeah.
And now it's just crawled into my throat.
Mine re engages.
Wow.
It
that's
lights
good.
Back up.
That's probably
same.
Healthy.
I'm completely the same way. I like get off stage, have one sip of a drink, and I'm like, there it is. She's back. She's back
with a vengeance.
She's back in town.
Oh my God. That was a lot.
What a tangent.
Stuff.
I was going to say,
know,
we should probably change the subject.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Should we do some advice?
Let's get back on course. Yeah.
Yeah, do we have one? I remember one from a while ago.
I know. We're so behind. We're sorry.
Should I ask that one? It was like, it could be a serious question.
Okay.
Is the whole, I mean, not too serious, but.
Wait, are you asking, am I dishing out?
We're all going to give it. We had somebody write in and say, would you ever date a brony? Which is somebody, a grown man who watches My Little Pony. And this is a serious, it's a serious movement because like they're really, like people are really into this show. Do you know this whole brony situation? There's a kid show called My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. I'm familiar.
Yeah, familiar, right? It's a kid show, right? But there is like this movement of like grown men and teenage boys and all this stuff watching it. And like they call themselves bronies and like going, there's conventions, there's brony conventions.
Okay.
There's all this stuff. I watched the documentary on Netflix recently. Highly recommend. But like they're interviewing people who are like part of this and like we know it's a little kid
like
show
furries? Like the people who wear the tails,
they do dress up for some of these conventions. Okay. But they're not, it's not like a weird sexual thing.
Yeah.
It's like a hardcore fanboy.
I'm all for a fetish, but this is like fanboy.
This is like, okay. it's like a grown man like in Pokemon.
I'm all for a fetish.
I'm all
but
for
if you're a fan.
Yeah. I'm all for a sick fetish, but if you're gonna overindulge in a topic for a child, then I'm
it's
disgusting.
Like somebody it's like somebody like in Pokemon as an adult, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like that kind of thing where like they don't want to, they're not
was
like
there
creepy
grosser than grown men being into Pokemon Go. It's so hard.
No,
I know. Even my friends, I'm like, okay, I can't have a conversation with you like walking down the Santa Monica promenade like catching fictional characters. Like,
yeah.
I can't,
what are we doing?
Yeah.
You can't like come back to bed and the guy's like, there's a Squirtle in your bathroom and you're like, I will never Squirtle again.
No, seriously. Like Pokemon Go fuck yourself,
I'm
because
like,
I am not touching that G.
Flush the Squirtle then.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But like
bronies,
there's this whole thing. There's this whole thing, and they talk about like these grown men. Like,
I would
this
love to hear the
most masculine dude, fucking motorcycle guy, beer drinker, and he's talking to the camera about how much he loves My Little Pony. He's like, It makes us. It makes me feel good. It's a well-written show. Every like they do.
It's a well-written
yeah,
show.
They all these characters are so like specific and unique, and like you can see yourself in in one of them. You know, like I'm a Rainbow Dash, or I'm a Apple Jack.
It's also this whatever, weird. You know, I feel like there's this weird realm like around horses in general. There's like groups of people that are just obsessed with horses.
Yeah.
So I think it might. Yeah. You know, like there was always like the one girl in your class who like. Always just wanted to talk about horses, brush
be
horses,
a horse.
And would be a horse and would make the noises. And you were like, okay, like, I'm sorry for bullying you, but I have to. Like, it's too fucking easy.
Right.
But so maybe they were like those kids.
But yeah.
Also, I'm like, there's too many. I'm like, I like would love to sit in on a therapy session with them, like behind glass.
Yes.
Like, let me hear the full story of what happened
like
as a child.
Like, what kind of daddy issues maybe?
Yeah. I'm like,
but yeah.
Like, you clearly saw a horse with a heart on, right?
Yeah,
like,
there's
no chance.
Yeah, totally. You're also like, beating off to bestiality porn at like right after the My Little Pony shit.
Yeah,
you're like on some weird Pornhub show.
Yeah, right. They talk about it very seriously. Like, why can't men like these shows? Basically, like, why does it have to be it's a girl thing, or like if you're weird if a
weird
guy
girls like it too.
If a guy like
women.
Yeah, but I'm like, it's funny because I used to watch this show as a nanny with like the little 7-year old girl that I was watching, and like she was super into it. Like, I'm a fucking Rainbow Dash. Well, she didn't say fuck, but she's like,
I was like, I was like, sure. She did. I'm pretty excited.
She gave me one of them. I can't remember, but like, yeah, this is like a movement. And like, basically the question is, would you date somebody who was into this? Like, there's a lot of fetishes out there. There's a lot of weird fandom, fanboys, fangirl stuff. Would you date somebody who was really into this thing?
Yeah.
Me personally, I couldn't. I don't think I could.
Okay.
It depends if it outweighed all of their other qualities, and if they were into it seriously or like ironically.
How are you even considering this right now? Like, I feel like this is a joke.
What? Like, if it was like, I like watching this cartoon at night, it makes me laugh, or like I get stoned and watch My Little Pony.
That's different.
That's different than
that
like
totally
going
different.
At if you're going to the conventions and you're serious about it, not going to happen just because I can't get. You have
I
to have common interest.
That's serious about anything.
Yeah, like you got to get common interest
not
too.
Not animated. Not into that like anything. If you were into like Avatar, I've heard that's a pretty good cartoon, but like if you're dressing up on the weekends and like building a religion around it,
right?
Yeah. If I have to kiss you in like some sort of Avatar getup, don't know how long it's
that's affecting
last.
Me now.
Now you're affecting me in my personal life.
Yeah, here's a relationship conversation I'll never have. Hey, honey, my parents are in town this weekend. We've got reservations at 7. Hey, actually, I can't go because there's a My Little Pony convention that night. Who would deal with that?
Or like the restaurant has like a small ounce of dress code, so don't dress up like a horse. Like that.
Take your tail off. Put your shoes on. Put the mane down.
I don't know if I could. First, how's the sex? If the sex is good,
like,
you can put up with it for a little bit, but I don't know if I could fully like submerge myself into a deep relationship with someone who probably like spends more time watching a kid's show than they would like want to take me miniature golfing.
Both pretty. This could be the same.
They're like, no one wants to fuck you because you like miniature golf.
No, I think they have to like probably date each other. I'm sure they find it hard to date outside of that hole.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm sure they're. I'm sure we're not far away from like a brony, like idatebronies.com. You know.
Yeah.
Something.
Oh, totally.
And I mean, we're all entertainers, so like we're also a weird class of people.
Totally.
So
yeah.
We take that on, bronies. Just so you know.
Oh yeah. We know. Like, there's a stigma.
Another one for him because. Yeah. He'll be really good at it.
Oh, yeah.
Also, real quick, this is a short one. It's just Jason Thompson sent us one. It was really nice. First of all, love the podcast. You three are amazing. So much fun to listen to. And said, you mentioned on that your next pod will be, this is an old one. That's why I need to get it out.
Yeah.
That you're going to talk about What the Health. And I'd just like to suggest that you listen to Vinny Totorich and his podcast, Fitness Confidential. He has a couple fairly recent episodes talking about that movie. He proves it's all propaganda. Facts are completely false. You learn that the people making the movie have an agenda, and it isn't really about everyone's health. It's just to scare people as you lead on that. It's just to scare people. Yeah, as you said, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just wanted to inform you before you allow that movie to scare you out of eating anything except grass clippings and dirt.
Yeah.
Loyal listener Jason Thompson. So nice. So I just wanted to bring that up because this is
that is
an old one. And then we have another old one. We're so sorry. We're really bad about this, obviously. Like we've said before, we get together like once a month.
Yeah.
And then we have to bust a few out because we're all very busy. Mm-hmm. But here's another advice one because I think Jordan's just going to crush it. So this one's from Eric, and it says, I ended a relationship about 5 weeks ago. She's the same age as me, 31. Overall, it was a year. It got to the point that I had to admit she just didn't have her life together. Despite trying to talk, she would deflect or avoid conversations of any depth or future. I treated her incredibly well. Think of it. I did it. We've gone no contact the whole time, and I'm holding that strong. She, from day one, blocked me on everything but has checked my public account.
Oh.
How do you know that?
Okay.
Everything out there talks.
I'm like, who is your IT guy?
I know. Everything out there. Oh, I would love to know when my exes check my.
Yeah, that's
interesting. Oh, yeah.
Just get a little notification.
A little notification, just like someone's not over.
There's got to be an app, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. There
eggplant emoji pops up.
I'm surprised there. But you know what? It would kill social media if there was an app like
true.
That.
Yes. That would be the death of it.
So much of social media is creeping on other people.
Absolutely. That's all of it. That's the whole thing.
That's why
it was invented.
Why I still have a Facebook.
Yeah. Let's totally. Be real here. She, from day one, blocked me on everything. Checked my phone. Everything out there talks always about the guy not getting his life right. Have you guys ever not been in the right headspace as the girl? I'm right to stay in no contact. There could have been a future, but I realize that's her own problem to solve.
That's a great question. So basically the question is, have we ever not been in a good place for a relationship and that's why we can't give it our all?
Yeah.
I think I like agree. I know. So he dumped her. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because she wouldn't talk about having a future.
Well, there was no depth.
Interesting.
There was no future. Okay. She could
got
like,
it.
Commit.
I've actually been on that.
Exactly. I like I've kind of that. There's like it comes a point after a period of time where you're like, this could either end now or it could become more serious. You know,
right,
you kind
of
have that like fork in the road, you know? Yeah. But I kind of understand because I dated someone that I was like super into for about like 4 or 5 months, you know? And then all of a sudden around like month 6 or 7, when things started to not even like our relationship, but conversations got more like political and just cultural and like more things that mattered in depth.
Serious,
you know?
Yeah.
It couldn't go anywhere. It was like, it wasn't like he didn't have the brain for it, but he just didn't want to talk about it at all. And I was like, oh no, I like want to date someone where I could like debate the hell out of you and like hate you and then have hate sex shortly after because you voted for Trump or something insane, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm super attracted to people when they like have goals and like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
someone that's
vision.
A vision for something.
Oh, yeah.
So it sounds like this girl just maybe didn't have a vision. So then she just didn't kind of go in depth of what, you know, where she wanted to go in
that's
the relationship.
True, 'cause he does say she needed to get her life together. So it sounds like it was more than just the relationship. Mm-hmm. It was like everything. And I've definitely been in that headspace. That's why I'm not dating anybody right now.
Right.
It's like, I've definitely been in relationships or in places with like guys where you have something happening and it's like, oh, I can't, I'm not in the right headspace. This is exactly what this sounds like, where you're just like, I don't have the mental energy to be a good girlfriend or partner because I'm not
working
even being good to myself right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And I need to like get through that first. And the only way you can do that is on your own.
I get that part of it, but I'm going to go opposite here. I'm going to say that no matter what kind of shape my own life is in, if I'm super into somebody, I will make that shit work. I could be living in my fucking car with broken windows and my dream man walks by and says, hey, you want to grab dinner, maybe get married? Fuck yes, I do. I don't give a shit how shitty my life is. We doing this.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing is, like, I mean, I think it's a little bit of a cop out. Basically saying, listen, it's not a good time. I'm not in the right headspace. Mm-hmm. Because let's be honest, if fucking Bradley Cooper walked by and was like, let's have a relationship and make babies, he would probably say yes. Like if your dream man was or dream woman or whatever partner showed up at an inconvenient time, I think you would still be like, you know what, I can maybe only see you once a month, but let's try.
Yeah, and there's really no FaceTime. Convenient time, you know? It's never like, oh, it's convenient for me to be in a relationship right now, because then it's like you kind of are just using the other person, I guess.
Right.
So, yeah, I do completely understand what you're saying, too.
But I also get really having to work on your own stuff and get things figured out and maybe not realizing, like, oh, maybe looking back, like, oh, shit, I wish I would have done something with this person, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because I think there's a healthy medium. Like, when I think about, you know, certain relationships where I was like, oh man, if I had been in a better headspace, like, I wouldn't have been so nuts. I wouldn't have,
yes.
I wouldn't have broken up with that person, like, all that kind of stuff. But then at the end of the day, it's like, but how long would you have really been together? Like, a year, two years, 3 years? Mm-hmm. Like, was that like your dream man? Like,
exactly.
It wasn't, but I don't know, because how many times does that happen in your life where your dream person, like, you know immediately? Like, usually it takes some.
Yeah.
Figuring out.
But I think not knowing is knowing. Like, if you don't know about somebody, you know that they're not it for you. That's how I feel.
Okay.
Like, not knowing, if I'm like confused about somebody, I know the answer.
I'm the same way.
Bye bye.
I'm very.
Yeah.
I was single for like probably, I like got out of a relationship, bounced to Europe. I was like, I don't even know who I am as a person anymore, because I was like so in deep in this relationship and in love.
Yeah.
And then I spent like 4 years just being single and being like, no, definitely not. Like, you don't check every box for me, and I'm not going to be like, well, I'll give it a try for 6 months and see if he grows on me. I was like, no. I mean, we'll go to Dollar Tacos a few times, but past that, I'm like, nope, that's it.
I feel like I've been on both sides of that just in my own like current relationship. Because I've always been like, I'm like you, Delaney, where it's like, if I feel it, I'm in.
Yeah,
like, I'm committed no matter what. And so, like, I've been committed to Kane for, you know, 5.5 years. But like, we were engaged after 9 months. And right after we got engaged, I kind of like freaked out a little bit and started to push away. And so that was like, I was the one more in that situation that was like, I'm not ready for this, because he's 3 years older. He'd already been married. And like, I think he just felt more like, I know that you're the one I want, and I don't have to like have any other experiences. Mm. Whereas like, I met him when I was 22, and I didn't expect to meet him that young, or like
take that's tough.
Yeah. Or like take that sort of a step that young. So I felt a little bit like, oh my God, am I gonna like miss out on a bunch of experiences, or like, is this just too young and too fast to be doing this? Are we ready for this? And ultimately it was like, no, we weren't ready for it. And like, thank God we didn't get married, because I would have been a fucking disaster. We were not.
But at the same time, like, that's the guy.
Yeah. I've still always.
And he's a total babe.
is a total babe. I love seeing George.
Every time I see Kelsey, I'm like, hey, Kelsey. Hey, Kane. I'm like,
so
Kelsey,
cute.
How's stand up? Kane, what's going on?
Every time
he's
George
so
George.
Nice. He's such good energy.
Yeah, he's a
that's
good dude.
That's always like from the get go.
He's so like. It's so easy. Like,
he's
you can't talk to him. It's
very
like,
warm.
It's
yeah.
So warm. He's so warm. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to make me
I want
cry.
You guys to adopt me.
We can do that.
I would like to be adopted into a threesome.
Hey, what's up? Nice to meet you. I'm Delaney Fisher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane's just got like, he's like that for, I think, everybody who meets him, like right away. People
yeah.
Like,
he can connect with people.
He connects with people super easy.
Yeah. So I always have like, I felt that so strongly the first night with him, and it's like stayed like that this whole time, where it's like, no matter what hard shit, it's still like, but I haven't ever like disconnected. Like, I've never felt like I don't have those feelings or that connection. It's just like, sometimes shit gets hard. You got to work through stuff. But, so I get what this guy's saying, where it's like, because I feel like dudes usually are the ones that are like, oh, I'm not ready for commitment. But I was that person. Yeah. It just was, there's different levels of commitment. Mm-hmm. I was still like, I'm all in for this relationship and being like present and like active and all the things you need to do to be a good girlfriend. But like, being a wife right now and committing my life to you, like, that seems like a lot for us having been together for 9 months.
Especially at 22. Or like, that's a very normal reaction.
Yeah, totally. So, like, I said that to someone the other day, where I was like, I feel like if I met like the perfect person for me, I would ruin it because I'm just like a garbage rough draft person.
Yeah, no, totally.
Like, I feel like I'd be like, can you call me in 4 years? You know, because right now I'll ruin it over like some petty shit. You know? I'll get mad about like an Instagram photo.
Right.
It'll be destroyed, and you would have. It would have been perfect if I were 27.
Like that's right. Interesting. Well, yeah, there is a biological issue too, where like your brain is even done developing until you're 27.
Yeah,
yeah.
Your frontal lobe is not even developed yet. Like your decision making part of the brain is still in the works, Taylor.
Oh, that makes you know feel better.
Yeah. So like
about being indecisive.
That is
being super fickle. Yeah.
So that is. I mean, there is that to take into account. But my only experience is I've used that as an excuse not to hurt somebody's feelings before. Hey, I'm not ready. It's not a good time.
Right.
You're a great person. That's been my only kind of thing.
Oh, you've never had a thing where you're like breaking up with someone you still have feelings for.
No.
Because you know you're like messed up in the head.
Yeah. Anytime.
Those are bad.
Those are rough. I'm really so with you on that.
You're just like sobbing uncontrollably. Yeah, yeah. And they're like, do you want me to stay? And you're like, yes, but no.
No. Like, yeah. Yeah. Horrible. Exactly. It's so bad. That's when you have to move out of the country. I know. That exact relationship.
Interesting.
I was like, crying, and I was like, I don't want to break up with you, but I have to. Like, there's something about this. I'm like, I can't be like in a white picket fence relationship right now. It's just not for me. Like, I need to like vomit on a curb and shit. I'm not.
Pee your pants on the 405.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I need to pee my pants on the 5, vomit on a curb, like find myself. That's what I was about. But yeah, it is sometimes you have that. I feel like an excuse.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's also the issue of like, well, what kind of issues is this person dealing with? Are there some, do they need to be in like hardcore therapy? What's going on in their life? What happened to them as a child? Like, I understand you need to really get your own like stuff mentally figured out before you can commit to somebody else. Because if you can't take care of yourself, you're not gonna be able to give anything. Yeah. So that makes sense.
And also, I don't think I even learned, like, I'm about to turn 27 and now I finally feel like I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, I just started dating someone new and I'm super into him and it's wonderful. So
and your frontal lobe is almost done.
And my frontal lobe is almost done.
It's almost cooked.
Yeah. It's been boiling. Yes, it's been boiling on heat. But I don't think I was even anywhere near ready until like, I'm not even kidding, probably 3 months ago. I was like,
and you were single that whole time?
I was single. I had like dated, the longest I had like, dated someone consistently was like 6 or 7 months.
Okay, yeah.
And which in gayers is like 15 fucking years. Yeah. You're like, I'm in love. This is it.
Yeah. It's like the same.
But it was, I never felt with anyone that I had dated in between them. They're going to listen to this and be like, this is terrible. But I had never felt like they were the one or that it was like something that could be a lengthy, you know, something that's real.
Experiences.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like, you're fine. I kind of feel like this could be a good time for 6 months. And that's usually how it was.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, now at 27, it's crazy. Something just kind of clicked where I'm like, whoa.
You want something.
Also, I was like, it's something with fulfillment too. Like, you get fulfilled by your job, you get fulfilled by your friends. And I was so fulfilled with doing stand up, and I was so fulfilled with writing and having like, I mean, I live with my best friend. So we are constantly, you know, it's so fun. We have the most fun together. And I'm like, I don't need to even make any new friends. I'm like, I'm good. Yeah. I'm like, this is great.
You're set.
But then after a while, it just hits you. We were like, oh my God, there's a piece of me that still feels like I need to. And it took me even years after that feeling to realize, I'm like, oh, it's dating and like being in relationships.
Where you're like, just like, I'm ready now.
I thought it was like, I don't like my job. I don't like my friends. I don't like, I like had to try everything before I was like, oh, it's, I'm ready for a relationship.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Totally.
And it still scares the shit out of me. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still like white knuckle the steering wheel when I'm driving to his house. I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I doing? What am I doing?
Yeah.
We've been dating now for like 2 months, but I thoroughly can say this person I'm super into, and I've never felt like this. I don't think
so exciting. Now I have a question. If you had met him like a year or two ago,
no, I don't
you
think it would have worked.
You because you weren't ready.
Have, like, made it work.
I was like, because a year ago I was like kind of going through like small bouts of depression, and I was still kind of like figuring out if it was my job that was causing it or my friends, or like I was still kind of blaming it on other people.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think I learned like how to compromise till I was 27. Like, when I was dating people, I would just be like, no, fuck off, this isn't working. Like, very quickly I was like, this isn't gonna work. Like, you know, I'm like, you don't
horses, get out.
I was exactly. I was like, you're not into the Rihanna Anti album. We're done. Like, I can't. But yeah, you like hit a point where you're like, I need some sort of fulfillment.
Yeah.
And like you are not ashamed of being like, I want another person to kind of give me that fulfillment.
Yeah.
Also, you're like, one dick for a few months could be pretty great. I'm like, it sounds safe and relaxing.
Yeah. 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 Very reliable. I like reliable D.
Yeah. Mm. I just want to have him back every week to give advice.
Yeah, I know.
That's good.
That was you're a like great a,
you're
question,
our
too.
Advice like Thanks. Segment core like Thanks. This is the
call
daily
me.
Show
call me whenever you want
oh yeah yes. And I would say like the fact that yeah it was you know a guy asking for advice about a woman who's not ready. I think that I've dated so many great guys that it's true, like they're not all like a hot mess, like they get a bad rap for being like, oh, they don't have their shit together, they're not ready for commitment. I've dated so many wonderful dudes who were so ready for commitment,
right? Yeah.
Did and said all the right things, treated me like a fucking princess. Same. And there just wasn't the connection.
And you bail.
Yeah.
And like, I had you deserve somebody who's completely head over heels about you.
Yeah.
So like they're not all just like fucking, you know, children walking around. There's some like amazing people
there
out
are,
there.
Yeah.
So we
that
see you.
Stereotype is so prevalent that it's like
it is.
It's so like at a certain point you're like, oh my gosh, I feel like every guy wants to commit. Like compared to what I thought. Why does every also I have like I'll keep your baby face.
Yeah.
So I feel like everybody like wants to, when people fall in love with me, they're like, we're in love.
Yeah.
Like, it's not,
totally.
You're this my isn't wife. A fling. Mm. You're not hot enough for a fling. Okay. Like, you are going to be my wife and never leave me.
Yeah.
Like, no. I'm a child.
Is that who flocks to you?
Yeah,
that sort of
like
that sort of man?
I feel like the relationships I've had, everybody's been like everyone has talked about like getting married. Like or like being together forever.
They sense a serious like a deepness with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I'm not like a hookup type person.
No.
Okay. Yeah. As you can see by the way, I just awkwardly shimmied my shoulder.
Yeah, it was pretty
that was pretty
and
sexy.
Maybe if
I don't
were
know.
Putting out that vibe because I never really did before. But even, you know, like
you're also very mature and successful for your age, and to me that attracts mature and successful people on the other end.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
People know you got a savings account, they won't lock this bitch down.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Totally. I have two checkings. So. That's for me. No, that's not good. That means you've transferred too many times from your savings into your checking, and they're like, you're going to get fined. We're going to eliminate your savings.
Oh, my God.
All right, so we're at about that time. So should we do some
hashtag goals?
Any goals that you have for yourself?
Short-term, long-term,
whatever.
Okay. I just finished writing a screenplay with an awesome writing partner who, like, another thing where you're like, you meet people and you're like, oh my God, I was meant for this person to like come into my life.
Yes.
That sort of thing. Yeah. I'm like, this show needs some branding and some advertisers. You know what I mean? This could be huge. I'm really excited. We're just about to start pitching it out and try to sell it, which
cool.
I'm like
That's
very
awesome.
Pumped for. And I just like recently got some great representation. So I'm like, let's do this. Like it finally feels like things are adding up. Cause I was in the same boat as where I was like, I love doing stand up, but I would love to do it like 6 times a year and like one of them be a stadium. That's fun, you know?
Cause you're so brilliant. You're such a good stand up comedian.
Thank you.
Like you should be. It should be many shows every night just so that the people get your gift.
You are
do it for the people.
I'm gonna kiss you on the mouth.
I mean it. He's so fucking good.
And you're just so good like interpersonally. I mean, I know you the least out of everyone. Like, what's it been, 60 minutes?
Yeah.
But you just seem like the type of person who should be being interviewed constantly.
Yeah.
Like,
TV personality.
You can't see me, but I simpered. I was like, mm.
You look like you whacked
it. It was very like Amal Clooney. I would love to long-term or short-term goals sell the hell out of the screenplay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then long-term goals, I just like have gotten to a point now where I'm like, I actually just want to have fun forever. Like I'm not, you know what I mean? Like I'm so done stressing about bullshit. Like I can keep saying that I have these long-term goals of like, oh, I want to do this and I want to be a huge stand-up and I want to be write movies and act in them. Like I want to Lena Dunham it, which is so true, you know?
Yeah.
But like truly, I'm like, as long as I'm actually having fun and like enjoying the ride while I do it, you know, like ups and downs, I'm happy. Like, that's what I want. That's truly what I want.
And Lena Dunham gets so much hate on Twitter. Like, which is, do you want that?
Oh, it's insane. Oh, yeah, the Twitter it's insane. Hate.
So hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, you child molester. It's insane. It's insane.
It's crazy. Oh. It's, I don't know how people deal with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Sell a screenplay, have some fun and along the way. That's it. That's all I need. Throw me a fucking stone, God.
Yes. Yeah,
I think it's a bone.
Good goals.
A bone. Throwing stones
a bone. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Biblically,
stone me, yeah.
Freudian slip.
Freudian. I will be stoned. Throw me a bone while I'm stoned.
There
yeah.
you go. Perfect. That's a good goal.
Yeah. What about
ladies?
You guys?
Yeah.
Kelsey.
My goal this week is going to sound a little materialistic, but it's for a good reason. After we did the life changing magic of tidying up, I got rid of so many clothes
That's
that
awesome.
Like did
You're
not.
Welcome.
Spark joy or make me feel like I like knew who I was when I was wearing it. You never put them on and you're just like,
yeah,
who am I right now? Like, what is this? Yeah. Am I going to like a skate park after this? Like, yeah, this isn't me.
Yeah.
And so I just parted with them, even though I was like, oh, but I spent the money and I should just work it. It's like, you know what? No, this isn't you. Just get rid of it. And so I've been looking at my closet like, wow, I legitimately don't have very many clothes right now because
I
got rid of so many. So I am going to treat myself and go try and do, again, quality over quantity, buy some nice shirts that make me feel good, not like hit up Forever 21 and get a $5 tank top. Like, I need to really, even though God bless Forever 21, there are $12.
Keeping us alive.
Their $12 bodysuits are magical, but I just need to get some actual good pieces that will last for a while that aren't just this weird impulse, like, oh, just get this for $5. Like, I need to actually. Really feel good in it. So that's my goal.
I love it.
That's awesome.
I love
Thanks.
It.
Thanks.
Yeah. I wrote a little short that I want to film and actually do it and film it and make it and just like put it on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube just
do it
because I have so many sketch ideas. Like, I was trained to write sketch. Like, I went to school for that stuff. It's how my brain works. It's how my writing is on stage. There's always a beginning, middle, and end. So it's like, I just need to start putting content out that just comes to me instead of overthinking it. Be like, this is dumb. Just shut it out. Shut it down. I plan to film that hopefully next weekend.
That's awesome.
That's
and
nice
do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. You know,
very short, like 15 seconds.
That's
just
all you
gotta
need.
Fucking totally. Do it. I know, but it's like that whole we'll get to it, but like the resistance of like
War of Art.
Yes. Oh,
yeah,
that's coming up.
Right now we're doing War of Art.
Oh God, it's so good.
Next soon.
Very, very soon.
Just go buy
just go
War
read
of
it.
Art.
I'm gonna buy it ASAP.
Yeah.
It's great.
Also,
just from that.
Audiobook. Pretty good. 3 hours.
Boom. Nice. Real not fast. Bad.
It's very
that's not bad.
Very fast. War of Art is a game changer.
Great read. Just, great read.
I'm so excited to talk about it.
Yeah.
And Taylor, how about you?
My short-term goal is to focus on my sleep and get a lot of sleep. Just
That's
as much
good.
Humanly possible because I was flying every weekend. The next few weeks, I have to drive, but I don't have to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is like...
vacation.
Thank God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just taking these red eyes and stuff is really messing me up. And yeah, so just focusing on sleep, writing every day, writing more, which is always my goal. And just like, just trying to like stay centered and like Kira told me, be very selfish and focus on myself because there's a lot going on right now.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to balance a lot of things and a lot of expectations from different people and different projects and things. And I just need to focus on being well rested.
Yes.
And eating
That's
right
good.
And exercising.
Yeah. So have you ever tried meditating?
I have, but...
But, like, your meditation, not, like, sitting on a... I, like, learned that meditating is different for everyone very recently.
Okay.
So, like, whatever your meditative state is, whether it's, like, Netflix and chilling, like, alone and vegging out, like, just give yourself that time.
Great.
I like that.
No, I've only tried, like, where you download the app and they're like...
No, yeah. That sucks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like some woman getting paid 99 cents an hour. It's like, horrible. Yeah.
So what do you... What's, like, your...
I when I feel like I need to actually meditate and, like, breathe and go through a mantra and stuff, I do that because I do something called transcendental meditation.
Ooh, I've heard of this.
Which is
like
one...
Seinfeld.
Which is incredible. Yeah. And it, like, really... You're supposed to do it 20 minutes, twice a day. I'm a piece of shit and I can't commit to
that's
it.
That's so much.
That's a lot.
It's hard.
Minutes.
And it's I want to get there. And when I started, I was there. And then it kind of... And it was funny because when I was doing it twice a day for 20 minutes, I was like the happiest and the
wow.
most... like I felt so... like my nervous system felt good.
What?
Like it was great. Yeah.
What is it? What's it? What's different?
It's just
than-
basically... it's a mantra that you learn from like this... I don't even know. Like a teacher, a meditation teacher that's like... sacred, and everyone gets a different mantra and it like becomes sacred to you, which kind of like oh. makes it kind of powerful, and you're like, whoa, I have something that no one else has now.
So you should be yeah. assigned a mantra.
Yes, it's okay. like you go through this little class
oh,
sort
how
of
cool.
thing. But then I also learned just from like, I mean, family and friends who meditate and stuff, and they're like I can very easily like, you just have to realize what clears your mind. And sometimes it's not about clearing your mind, it's just about like a clear flow of thoughts, because
yeah.
transcendental meditation isn't like I'm gonna be blank for 20 minutes. That's not it. It's if you want to think for 20 minutes and stress out for 20 minutes, just do it. Just like
Whoa.
Sit there and do it and be alone for those 20 minutes. So I've like really realized, and it helps me with my sleep, is that like I have played sports my whole life and played soccer forever, and like running, I could just run and listen to music. If I do it for 20 minutes, 15 minutes, like my sleep patterns are on track. My I like don't feel nearly as stressed, and it's like meditative. Like
yeah.
I can finally zone out and actually like I have some of my best ideas when I'm jogging.
Totally.
So it's yes. I feel it sounds like I'm such a white girl, but I truly like while I'm jogging, not like lifting weights, just
yeah.
going for a jog outside alone with like whatever music I want to listen to.
Yeah.
I like every stress sense. I have and my like anxiety is gone.
Your brain yeah. turns off yeah. and something
that's
else
really
takes yeah. over. Yeah.
yeah. And
yeah.
my sister just paints. She's like, I don't have to be good at it. I mean, she's a great painter, but she's like, instead of focusing on like, I want this to be good, she just kind of goes for it and sees what comes out.
It.
Like, I think everyone has like a meditative state that they just have to
Absolutely.
Find.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My best ideas come when I'm driving.
Yeah.
And so to the point where I've had to like start carrying a little notepad like in my middle compartment, because that's where all my tags come from
mm-hmm.
for my bits. Like it's always when I'm driving.
Yeah. Mine is when I'm running.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
It's so interesting. Or in the shower.
Oh
that's
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah. Is there anything that stands out for you guys that's like something that kind of feels like you are the most creative, but it's like something that almost feels meditative?
Walking.
I get a lot of ideas. Walking.
Yeah. Walking. Nice. Looking at trees.
Working out, I'm focusing on working out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, walking like around outside.
Being
yeah.
outside.
I was in Phoenix this weekend. It was so hot, but
yeah.
I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think morning pages are meditative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Mine's always like when I'm like sitting silently, like if I'm like in a comfortable place and mm-hmm. like I just start writing. As soon as I start writing, then like
it's a flow.
I feel like something just like pops
that's
off and it's like, oh,
yeah.
okay, I can get this
yeah.
all out now. So
it.
And
yeah,
that's just the trick, is making yourself feel safe enough
yeah.
to
yeah.
come up with things.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. That's like
it.
That needs to be written down.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're
oh, God, that was good.
We're at an hour 20. So.
Ooh. Ooh. This is so good. Thank you
yeah,
so much.
Jordan.
Sorry for rambling for two
no,
hours.
No, not at all.
Great.
So good.
So good.
Plug your socials and your website
oh,
and all that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Instagram and Twitter, Jordan C. Pease, like please without the L.
Okay.
Facebook, just same thing, Jordan Pease. And then, yeah, for sure, come to a show sometime.
Yeah.
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 Let me make you laugh.
And follow him for that big announcement coming up.
Oh,
soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm
email
excited.
Us at selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com. And we'll call Jordan next time to get his input.
Yeah. Advice.
I would love to.
Also,
so
you can contact us if you want to sponsor an episode of mm-hmm. Self Helpless. You can just email us and
yes.
go over the details that way as well. Because
self-helpless
we've had.
Podcast, no hyphen.
Yeah. selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com. We love
awesome.
The sponsorship.
Okay,
thank you guys so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan. So good.
And
go
subscribe to Self Helpless on iTunes and give us that 5-star rating and review if you have a second, because it helps us so much. And that is all.
Hell yeah.
All right. Bye,
bye.
You guys.
Bye.
Talk to you next week.
Yeah.